Is global warming real, or is it a bunch of hot air? Well, let's put it this way. We're paying through the nose for higher gas prices, and it could get much worse, in order to placate forces on the left who want a so-called Green New Deal. They believe that burning fossil fuels and the like is literally causing tornadoes, hurricanes, and other natural disasters. In short, is the phenomenon of catastrophic, man-made climate change real? Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Cal Beissner, the head of the Cornwall Alliance. And we're going to talk about this whole issue of climate change. And Cal, it's great to have you on the program again. Thanks for joining us.
Well, Jerry, thanks very much for having me back.
Sure.
Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation always appreciates the interest that you generate among your listeners.
Okay, good. All right, so let's unpack what I just said at the very opening, because we see this over and over and over. Key critical decisions are being made, and not just by the United States, by the way. As we see it happening in other Western European nations, for example. But the question is the whole premise at issue?
Yeah, it is. You know, what's happening is that, for one thing, people are fearful that global warming driven by carbon dioxide emissions from burning fossil fuels is going to cause catastrophic problems, more frequent and more intense extreme weather events, rapidly rising sea levels, more frequent and severe wildfires, things like that. The truth is, and don't take my word for it, this is what you get from the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The truth is, there is no data to support the notion that the global warming that we've seen over the last 50 years or so has brought with it any increase in the frequency or the severity of any extreme weather events. And in fact, for the most dangerous extreme weather events, we've actually seen, hurricanes, we've actually seen a slight downturn in their frequency and intensity over the last 50 years or so. Furthermore, the fact that we build our economies based on fossil fuel, which provides about 85% of all the energy that we use in the world right now, and those economies produce for us things like safe housing and good electric grids, things like that, that protect us from extreme weather events. Well, the result is that from 1900 to the present, deaths per 100,000 residents from extreme weather events have fallen by more than 98%. And so we can protect ourselves from extreme weather. And, by the way, sea level rise has not accelerated during the period of current global warming. And it continues to go at about the same rate that it's gone for the last several thousand years, of about 1 to 3 millimeters per year, or about 7 to 12 inches per century. And it varies per year because of various different cycles, but it averages out to a little bit over 1 millimeter per year for a century. So the reality is we really don't face catastrophic problems from global warming, but we do face catastrophic problems if we try to eliminate the use of fossil fuels quite rapidly and replace them with wind and solar. To give you one example of why that is the case, wind and solar are very diffuse, low-density energy sources, and so it takes a whole lot more of other kinds of resources, minerals to go into building the wind turbines and the solar arrays, takes a whole lot more of those other resources to generate the same amount of electricity from them that we do from, say, nuclear or natural gas or coal. The result is that we wind up having it cost more, and that means you delay the time that people who are currently get very, very little energy for their lives and very unreliable energy. We delay the time that they get lots of reliable energy, and Thus, we continue to keep them in poverty, and poverty is a far greater risk to human well-being than anything related to climate.
Just recently, I visited family in Norway, family I married mm-hmm. into, and I see a situation where they are really working hard to make all the cars electrical by literally in just a few years. In other words, you won't be able to buy a non-electrical car within a few years. And they're doing all this based on the theory about man-made catastrophic global warming. Your thoughts?
Catastrophic man-made global warming, as opposed to moderate and actually probably more beneficial than harmful global warming. The catastrophic idea is simply wrong anyway, so it doesn't make any sense to build any policy on the basis of that.
But they are.
But second, electric vehicles are just simply not a really good solution to the problem for a variety of different reasons. First off, it takes a whole lot more energy to drive an electric vehicle down the road than it does to drive an internal combustion vehicle. Why? Because the battery pack for an electric vehicle, for an all-electric vehicle, weighs about 1,000 pounds. So that's as opposed to a couple of hundred pounds for, say, a 20-gallon fuel tank, gas tank. And yet that 20-gallon car, several times the distance that the battery pack will take it. Well, so you're hauling this 1,000-pound battery pack down the road. Well, the more weight you move, the more energy you have to move it. Well, where's that energy coming from? It's certainly not coming primarily from wind and solar. It's going to be coming from nuclear, would be wonderful, but too many places refuse to use nuclear. So instead, it's going to be coming mainly from coal or natural gas, which is exactly what the people want to try to get away from. That's not even to mention, by the way, the fact that rare earth minerals and special metals, especially cobalt, for instance, that goes into battery packs for EVs, those are mined almost exclusively in China and the Congo. And the primary workers in the mines there are Uyghur slaves in China and child labor in Congo. And it's done in very, very toxic, dangerous working conditions where, you know, there's no way that that kind of mining would be allowed here in the United States. We have much tougher environmental regulations on mining. So there are those problems with electric vehicles. And then, you know, throw an extra 1,000 pounds into your vehicle, and in an emergency stop, you're going to need more space. So you're going to have more accidents, more injuries, more deaths.
That is so amazing. It's almost like we're being misled by this, but the Western world in general has bought these ideas, and these ideas have consequences.
Yeah, they do. And I think, you know, Proverbs 8:31, I believe, is where wisdom says, "All they that hate me love death."
Yes.
And I think what we're seeing really in the environmental movement is a basically anti-human worldview that sees human beings as basically consumers and polluters, using up the Earth's resources and poisoning the planet while we're at it, instead of seeing us, the way the Bible presents us, as made in the image of God to be producers and stewards, to reflect God's own production and God's own care of his creation. God started with nothing and got everything. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He brought light out of darkness, order out of chaos, life out of non-life, and great abundance and variety of life. And we should be doing the same kind of thing. And we can be doing the same kind of thing if we learn to understand God's world the way he has made it. One of those things that we need to come to grips with is that in providing energy, which is absolutely indispensable to lifting and keeping people out of poverty, the lower the density of the energy source with which you start, the more costly it's going to be to get energy at scale, the incredibly vast amounts of energy necessary to power the modern world, to give people the kind of lives that, instead of a life expectancy of about 27 to 28 years at birth back 200 years ago, Now, in developed countries, it's about 80 years. And wow. in even the developing countries, it's about 70 years.
Wow.
To do that, you have to have massive amounts of energy, not just electricity, but most of the energy we use actually is in the form of liquid fuels used for various kinds of transportation. And you have to have that energy instant on demand, 24/7, 365. Wind and solar cannot do that.
Yeah.
And so we're really just buying into a death wish on the part of the liberal, progressive, green movement. And we Christians need to respond with a much more pro-human and pro-productivity perspective. That's what Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation has been talking about for, well, it'll be 17 years in August.
Wow. Well, you know, it's so interesting. When you're saying all these things, I can't help but think back to when AOC, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York City, very liberal, very much into the Green New Deal, big promoter of it and so forth. But in early 2019, she was saying on television that basically there's only a dozen years left we have on the planet, you know, unless we change our policies and so forth. Of course, yeah, I'm sure 8 years from now or whatever, you know, when life goes on and so forth, she'll say, well, see, we did change some of these things, and that's why we had to pay higher gases, but it was worth it so we could, you know, make sure we would all have a future here. But, I mean, it's the everything, well, you know, the premises are so false. It's just crazy.
Yeah. That claim was just completely absurd. And frankly, Jerry, you won't find that kind of language in anything that comes out of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is the source to which all these people point as their great authority. The IPCC never talks in terms of catastrophe or existential threat. And you can read its own report and see that even in the worst scenarios where we continue using fossil fuels far more than they wish we would, even in those worst scenarios, everybody in the world is much, much better off by at least three or four times, and in some of the better scenarios, by as much as 100 times than we are today. That's not exactly 12 years to save the planet.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny, too, because we live in hurricane zone that is in Florida and so forth. And when people talk about the increase of hurricanes and so forth, you know, I look back and I see these explorers going in the deep sea and they're pulling out Spanish galleons and so forth that were what? They were brought down by hurricanes. I mean, there were many hurricanes in the 1600s, mm-hmm. and that was long before there were fossil fuels being burned.
Yeah.
And so on the face of it, the claims just don't seem to have any sense.
Yeah, and as part of what happens is that, for one thing, green activists always tend to exaggerate various different environmental risks. But for another, to take hurricanes as an example, you know, a couple of years ago, we had supposedly the highest number of North Atlantic hurricanes ever recorded. Well, that was because the National Hurricane Center changed the definition of, and I'm sorry, it was supposedly highest number of major hurricanes, that is Category 3 or above.
Okay, and we have 20 seconds left.
The definition of a major hurricane. And the change in definition actually resulted in storms being counted as major that wouldn't have been counted as major.
Wow.
Before, I believe it was 2012, that the change cap came.
Yeah.
Further, in 2019 and 2020, they changed how they went about deciding whether a storm should be named. So we had supposedly the highest number of named storms ever. Well, prior to the change in definition, a number of those storms would not have been named,
right.
and we would have been left with the actual highest number of named storms under the old definition would still have been back in the 1930s.
Isn't that something? Yeah.
Not just recently.
Okay, a big shell game going on here. CornwallAlliance.org for more information. Thank you, Dr. Beissner. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless.